And I'm going to share with you something I've been sharing each time I get a chance to share this truth or this thought with people, and something that God gave me back in November. And I want to give you this truth. I think it'll be a help to you. I want to read some scripture. We're going to jump around a little bit, and then I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get preaching. Maybe I'll just read some verses just here and there till he gets here with the people, you know, just kind of like you were doing with the songs, although I got a lot more to read than you do. So anyway, Acts 17, verse 6, the Bible says, when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down. I want you to notice that. These have turned the world upside down or come hither also. Notice how the disciples had turned the world upside down. And then if you look over at John chapter 17 and verse number, let me get this right here quick. John chapter 17 verse 18. The Bible says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. This is Jesus talking to his Father. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And then in John 20, verse 21. John 20, verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And then I want you to go way back into the Old Testament. And I'm going to tie all this together, so just be patient with me as I read these different verses. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 and 15. Very familiar to Christians, have been around a while. if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I want to talk to you about soul winning in America. I want to share with you something that is really burdened my heart, and I think it's really important that we get this truth, each Christian. But let's pray. Father, please help us now to open our hearts to your word, and please challenge us from it. Please use it in the lives of the Christians sitting in this room. Lord, they have a big obligation to reach this community with the gospel, and we have a big obligation as Americans to help our country. And you've given us ways to do that, but we need to be effective at doing it too. So please help us to get this message and use it in our lives. Be with Pastor Byram and his family. Give them a good time of rest while they're away, and give them safety coming back, and bless the church while they're gone. Please help them to stay faithful at doing the right things that he's been leading them to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I was sitting in the Grandview Baptist Church in the Portland, Oregon area back on election night last November. As I was listening to the preacher preach, he was preaching about America, and he reminded us of the biblical foundation of our country. And the votes to determine our next president were being counted throughout the country as I sat in Portland listening to that preacher preach about our great country. During the altar call, I went to the altar and I prayed for our country, and I ask God to help me be part of the solution to healing our land and not part of the problem. Then on the way home, I heard the election results, who won the election, and I thought, wow, that's not what Christians wanted. That's not what we Christians wanted. Then the question came into my mind, now what? What are we going to do now? And then it got more specific. What am I going to do now? What am I going to do now? You know, see, they are leading the nation away from God. This is what the main leaders in our nation are trying to do. They're leading our nation away from God and the Bible. I saw something today, and I don't know how much you can believe on the internet, but I saw something where the president wants every citizen to have one of these chips in him by March of this year, March 23rd of this year. We're all supposed to have one of these chips in us. That makes it possible for them to track us wherever we go. It has something to do with insurance. You know, be able to, if you get sick, they can find out where you're at. They can find out all your medical information right away like that. It's supposed to be beneficial to us, but we know what's behind all of it. And it's just scary to me. It's just, things are just weird, real weird. But the president, you know, he takes the oath on the Bible and then speaks about equality in marriage for the homosexuals, when the very Bible he put his hand on condemns homosexuality and clearly teaches that marriage is only between one man and one woman. So leadership is promoting what God calls an abomination and also what God calls murder. They're promoting abortion. God hates both of those things. You read the book of Leviticus, you read the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, you see that God hates these sins. He doesn't hate the sinners, he hates the sins. But then we have people that are following that leadership and putting that type of leadership in public office. People following the leadership of Hollywood and the leadership of education that they have received in the anti-God and anti-Bible public schools and colleges across America. We have young people following the lead of a godless generation as their parents and their parents' partners have lived godless lifestyles in front of these kids. And you wonder sometimes, you pick up kids on a bus route, why they're so crazy. Well, what do they live with all week long? What do they see all week long? We've got to expect that out of them. I mean, they're terrible examples. The leadership in our country, whether you're talking in the public office, whether you're talking in the the leaders, the other leaders around in our country that people look up to, or whether you're talking about in the homes, the leadership is pathetic. It's just pathetic. And here's what's really sad. Christian leaders leading people who want to know God and want him as a part of their lives, leading them away from the true Bible, away from the true way to heaven, and the true Bible-based Christian life. They have saturated their services with the world's influence in their music and teaching. They have preached a watered-down gospel. This is becoming more commonplace even in fundamental churches. They are using watered-down Bibles to preach watered-down sermons, which help produce watered-down Christians. And no one in the unsaved world wants anything to do with this worldly Christianity. Why would they? It's not much different than what they have already in their life. This is what the majority of America is made up of. That is why we are in the shape we are in today. So what can I do to turn this around? It can't be what can we do, but what can I do? I got to get it looking at me. What can I do to turn this around? The answer is obviously not in the White House or any other government house. I have in front of me my first grandson right there. A picture of him. He's not in front of me. I wish he was, but a picture of him. Then as I slide my phone over, there's my family and my two granddaughters right there. What kind of country are they going to have? What kind of country are they going to grow? Are they going to have freedoms like I have? Are they going to be able to come to church in a midweek service freely like I was able to come last night to my church and then tonight here? Are they going to be able to do that? I mean, I can't close my eyes to it. I can't pretend that everything's just going to be okay. I can't pretend that America is just going to get better. It's not. It's not unless I do something about it. I got to do something about it. It's not, the answer's not in the White House or any other government house. It's in the church house where God's family comes together. You see, we need an army of serious soul-winning Christians. I heard a preacher preach recently about in a service that we have to have Christians who are going to burn for God, not just be a shining light, but be a burning light, be on fire for God in their Christian living, including soul winning. The more people we get into God's family, the more Christians that live for God, the better our country will be. That's how you change a country. You get people saved. You change a country the same way God changes a life, or the same way God changes a family. You get Christ in it. You get Christ in people's lives. The Bible says that God blesses a country that lives right. Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation. Righteousness exalts a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. And this country is full of sin and full of reproach. It's an embarrassment sometimes what goes on in our country. It's an embarrassment. You know, you want to be able to tell your grandkids, wow, this is the greatest nation on earth. And I still think it is. But can I honestly keep saying that and be truthful about it as we keep going downhill like we are? See, the problem is we don't have enough people living right in this country. We don't have enough of God's people. And we don't have enough of God's people living the way they should. So I'm going to be part of the solution, here's what I must do. And I want you to think about what you must do to help save our country. And a lot of people say, well, we need to pray for our country. Okay, we've been hearing that for years. And you should pray for your country. No doubt about it. I'm going to talk a little bit about that in a second. But there's a lot more to it than just praying for our country. What I must do is I must go, and I'm not talking as a pastor now, I'm talking as a Christian. I must go and let God use me to make more Christians. I must be a soul winner, okay? If I want to be part of the solution to this country, the problems of this country, I must be a soul winner. I do believe in voting. I do believe Christians ought to vote. And I think we ought to vote for the candidate that's closest to the Word of God or the one that's going to keep us free. But that's not the answer. That's not the answer. The answer is for me to be a soul winner. The answer is for me to help let God use me to turn as many to righteousness as I can. Because righteousness exalts a nation. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. And I'm telling you, America does not have God as the Lord anymore. You have to have your head in the sand not to think that. Okay? And so we really need to see what the problem is. So how do we make God, our nation, have God as the Lord? You got to have the individual people having God as the Lord. And so how do we get that to happen? We've got to win them to the Lord. That's what we got to do. But, so I got to be a soul winner. I must be a soul winner if I'm going to be part of the solution to this, to the problems in my country. Now, but if I'm going to be a soul winner, I want to be an effective soul winner. I want to go with God's power on my life. Look over at Ephesians 5:18. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. It's one thing to go soul winning, but it's another thing to go soul winning with God's power on your life. You know what that means? When you go with the Holy Spirit's power on your life, that means as you witness to that person, whether you're witnessing to someone at work, whether you're witnessing to a neighbor or a family member, or whether you're witnessing when you're going out door knocking, whatever the case may be, it's having the power of God in your life is when you speak to those people, speak to their ears, God speaks to their heart. And God brings conviction on them. Holy Spirit is there and working and convicting them of their sins. But God said here, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. If I'm going to go soul winning, I got to make sure I'm filled with the Spirit. Acts 1:8 says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Jesus said, I want you to be witnesses, but you have to wait for the power of God, because if you go without the power of God, it's useless. So I need to be a soul winner, but I need to be an effective soul winner. I need to be filled with the power of God. It's so important for me to see that and to do that. So I've got to make sure that I get God's power on my life. Now, God will not fill a sinful Christian or a Christian who's full of the world. You see, folks, this is a desperate situation. I mean, there are people that are going to hell, and God wants to use us to keep them out of hell. But he wants us to use us as the messengers to take the word of God to them. But also, we've got a country that we've got to save. We've got to help save for our kids, for our grandchildren. You young parents, man, what kind of a future do your children have? What kind of future do your grandchildren have? I want to be part of the solution. I want my grandkids to be able to look at their granddad and know that he's done all he can to try to keep their country free. And I can do something. I know I'm just one person, but I can do something. I can do something to change this. In Acts 17:6, the first scripture we read, the disciples were described as having turned the world upside down or having changed the world. How'd they do that? They preached the gospel to everyone who would listen to them. And people got saved and their lives were changed from evil to good or righteous. One person at a time. One person at a time. Jesus said we are to preach the gospel to every creature. One person at a time. I can do my part to change my country one person at a time. Soul winning. Soul winning will change a person, the Bible says. Soul winning is making disciples or winning people to the Lord and baptizing them and teaching them to follow the Lord, teaching, discipling them. That's what soul winning is. And soul winning will change a person. Look it over at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Soul winning will change a person. Getting the gospel to someone and presenting the plan of salvation, having them accept Christ as their Savior will change a person's life. Think about what it did for you. It changed you. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Okay, if everybody in Seattle got saved and changed, wouldn't that make a huge difference in the state of Washington? Well, why? Okay, you say, well, that's never going to happen. You don't know that. Of course, it won't happen if we don't try it. I mean, Des Moines not going to be reached if you don't try it. If this whole city, just Des Moines was everybody got saved here, what a difference it would make in this city. You see? But how's that happen? One person at a time. One person at a time. I don't know how many people I can win to the Lord before I die, but I can try to win as many as I can. And if I win them, they'll be changed. And what a difference it'll make in that person's life. And if they take the message and spread it around, what a difference it'll make in their little sphere. And America's becoming slowly better and better. You see that what I'm saying? That's how it works. That's how it works. Seems like an impossible task. But I'm telling you, maybe it seems impossible. But with God, all things are possible. But let me tell you this. I should at least try. I should at least give my best. I shouldn't sit back and say, well, it's impossible. Forget it. Let the whole world go to hell. Let America just go to hell. Who cares? No, I can't do that. I can't do that. I've got a family. I've got children. I've got grandchildren. I've got little kids in my church. I want them to be able to grow up free like I'm free. And it's not fair for me not to sit back and just let America get worse and worse and worse and not try to do something to try to stop it. You see, it's so important. I can be used. The disciples were used to turn the world upside down. I can be used to turn Tacoma upside down for God. Now, that's one small little part of the country, but it is part of the country. And I can be used if I'll just try to do something. Soul winning will change a person from believing what the word of the world says to believing what the word of God says. From living for self-will to finding out and doing God's will for their life. From living unholy lives to becoming holy as he is holy. Now look it over in John 17, 18, where we read a few minutes ago. Jesus said as he was talking to his Father in John 17, 18, talking about the disciples back then, and of course in the chapter he talks about the future disciples, which is you and me, if we are truly following the Lord. John 17, 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. He sent us into the world as the Father sent him into the world. Luke 19, 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus has sent us into the world to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, I know we can't save them, but we can tell them about the one that can save them. In John 20, 21, he was telling his disciples, he said, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. Even so, just like the Father sent me. And if we are to do this, we must do it effectively. As I said before, we must do it filled with the Holy Ghost. We must do it with the power of God on our life. I have gone and witnessed to people before, and I knew the power of God was not with me when I was doing it. I just knew it. I could tell. It was like I was just talking to the chair. There was somebody sitting in the chair, but it was like I was just talking to the chair. They weren't getting it. They weren't even listening. It was just hitting a brick wall. But I've also gone filled with the Holy Ghost, and I know I've seen God work, and I've seen God convict people. And I've seen people get saved right in front of me, and it's a great thing to see that happen. I want to go effectively. I want to be used by God to change this area where I live. And if I change the area where I live, if I let God use me to change the area where I live, I am thus changing my country. Now, I got to do it effectively. To do it effectively, seeing people get saved and have their lives changed, you must have God's power, like the disciples did throughout the book of Acts. Have God's power in your life, you must be a surrendered, sold-out Christian, filled with his word. If we all do this, then we can see God do a great work in our nation. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to 2 Chronicles 7:14 if you want to turn there. If you don't know it by heart, you want to turn there and look at that scripture, you can. Here's what I'm going to do. The Bible says there, if my people. Now, once again, it says, if my people, which are called by my name, once again, it's all on us. It's not on the government, folks. It's not on the unsaved crowd. It's on us. If my people, if my people, if this country continues to go downhill, it will be the fault of God's people. Because God said right there, he said, I will heal your land. That's what he said. If my people. So, I'm going to accept my responsibility. I'm not going to run from it. This is what I'm going to do. I must make sure I live up to that name. My people, called by my name. I must make sure my life matches his name. I'm a Christian. I'm going to live like a Christian. I'm not going to live like the world. I'm going to live like a Christian. If I say I believe the Bible, if I claim to believe it's God's word, then I'm going to try to live what I claim to believe. I'm not going to run from my responsibility. I'm going to accept my responsibility as a Christian. I don't want my kids, and I don't want my grandkids to stand up 20 years from now if America goes downhill and be able to point at their grandfather and say, you were part of the problem. You didn't do anything to keep me free. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to accept my responsibility. Here's what God said. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. So the first thing I'm going to do after I accept my responsibility is I'm going to humble myself. The Bible says, Romans 12:3, we ought not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. So how ought I to think of myself? I ought to think of myself before God like Paul thought of himself before God. When he was, if you read the scripture, when he compared himself with sinners, he said, I am the chief of sinners. 1 Timothy 1. When he compared himself with Christians, he said, I am less than the least of all saints. He looked at himself as someone who was a sinner. In fact, Romans 7, he called himself a wretched man. That's what Paul thought. Now, we would not think of Paul at all like that. We would think, man, one of the greatest men that ever lived. One of the most sincere Christian people that ever lived. But he said, I'm wicked, I'm rotten. I have a lot of problems. I'm not what I ought to be at all. I'm far from what I ought to be as a Christian. John the Baptist said about himself and Jesus, he said, I can't even untie the shoes of Jesus. I'm not even worthy to do that. You see, God talks all in throughout the scripture how he blesses humility. He will bless the humble person. Now, I need to look at myself like I ought to think. Instead of comparing myself to other people, instead of thinking I'm better than anybody else, I need to look at myself like God sees me, and God sees me as a sinner doomed for hell without his son. God says, without me, you can do nothing. He also said, with Christ, I can do anything, but without him, I can do nothing. So I need to humble myself before God, say, God, I need you. I got to have you. I'm so far from what I ought to be, and I need you. Every single moment of this day, I've got to have you. And every single day, I get on my face before God and yield myself to you and humble myself before him and don't pretend to be something that I'm not. I have no business fussing and fighting with you. I have no business arguing with you. The Bible says pride and contention go together. I shouldn't have any pride in my life. I want God to do something with me. I want God to use me. And I can't do that if I'm walking around proud. It's not going to happen. He's not going to fill a proud person. So I have to humble myself. Secondly, I got to pray. Jesus said in Luke 18:1, he said, men are always to pray and not to faint. In Luke 11:2, Jesus said to his disciples, when ye pray. He didn't say if ye pray. He said when ye pray. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. So I'm going to accept my responsibility as a Christian American, and I'm going to do what I can to help turn this country around. And so first I'm going to humble myself before God. Say, God, I need your help. I'm nowhere near what I ought to be as a Christian, and I have so much work. I need so much help in my life. Please help me. I can't make it without you. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Second thing I'm going to do is pray. It says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. We may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for my leaders. I'm going to pray for I'm going to spend some time with God daily, go to the throne of God and spend some time with God in worship before him. I'm going to thank him. I'm going to praise him every day. I'm going to ask for forgiveness for my sins. And then I'm going to come before him and pray for not only myself, but other people, including leaders in our country. I'm going to pray, right? I'm going to ask God. I'm going to seek God's help here for these things. I'm going to do what the Bible says, humble myself and pray. The third thing I'm going to do is he said, seek my face. I'm going to seek God's face. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. I'm going to seek God's face. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 4, 29, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. I'm going to seek God's face. That means I'm going to look into the Bible daily to see what God wants and what God thinks about how I'm living. I'm going to seek God's face. This is seeking God's face right here. This is finding out what God thinks. I'm going to do this. I'm going to come before him and seek it with all my heart and with all my soul. I'm going to spend time every single day in this book, searching it, looking at it, studying it, trying to find out what God wants for my life each day, how he wants me to live. And it doesn't matter what he wants me to do. What does he want me to change? What does he want me to add to my life? What does he want me to subtract from my life? Whatever he wants, I'm going to seek his face because I want to make sure there's always a smile on his face when he's looking at me. I'm going to seek his face. I'm going to humble myself. As I humble myself, I realize I need God. And then I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask God to help me and ask God to help those around me and ask God to help the leaders of my country. And then I'm going to seek God's face. I'm going to spend time daily in his word, seeking what God thinks about things and seeking what God thinks about how I'm living. I'm not going to change. I'm not going to change. God is against what God was against 2,000 years ago. He's still against today. I'm not going to change because I'm going to stay in the word of God and not depart from its truth. And then he said, and turn from your wicked ways. Turn from your wicked ways. This is what I'm going to do. Psalm 139, look over there. Psalm 139, verse 23. I'm talking this evening about how to help stop the slide of our country downhill and how to change America. But he said here, Psalm 139, verse 23, David said, search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I'm going to seek God, have God search me and look me over, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And then when he shows me what's wrong, when he shows me what is wrong in my life, I'm going to do what 1 John 1:9 says. I'm going to confess my sins, and then I'm going to do what Proverbs 28:13 says. I'm not only going to confess them, I'm going to forsake them. So God, I'm open to God. God, what are the wicked ways in my life? Show me what's wrong with my life. Show me the sins I have in my life. I'm going to come clean before God daily to make sure that everything's right between me and him. Confess and forsake my sins. I'm going to make sure that I humble myself. I'm going to make sure I pray. I'm going to make sure I spend time in God's word. I'm going to make sure I turn from my wicked ways. I'm just amazed today how many Christians are holding on to stuff in their life they have no business holding on to. It's incredible to me. You just sit around and just listen to people talk. Christians talk about what they're watching, what they're listening to, all this kind of stuff, messing around with the world, doing things in the world, things the Bible clearly condemns, that and flooding their mind with a bunch of garbage that they shouldn't be doing, flooding their mind with. And so, because they're not honest with God, they're not humble before God, they don't seek his holiness, they don't seek his righteousness in their life. So I'm going to do these things because I want to be part of the solution and not part of the problem. And then I'm going to go soul winning. And I'm going to turn out some more righteous people. I'm going to let God use me to be his messenger. I'm going to make sure I have gospel tracts on me. I'm going to make sure that I go out and I tell people about the Lord and try to get them saved. Because one more person getting saved and having their life transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ means a better America. How much better would America be if everybody in this room this week won somebody to the Lord? How much better would our country be? This much better. And if it just kept doing it, and of all the Christians in this country that are part of soul-winning churches, just the ones part of soul-winning churches, if everybody got so serious about this, and not just, there's a lot of people going to go out soul-winning this Saturday, this week, not as much as should go out soul-winning through with the Christians in America, but how many are going to go out effectively? How many are going to go out with the power of God on? That's what we need. We need the power of God on our life. So I'm going to humble myself and pray and seek God's face and turn from my wicked ways and then go soul winning. Why is this so important? Why is it so important? Well, I think it's important so we can have freedom to continue to get the gospel to our cities and our world. You have the freedom to do it. Now, we're supposed to do it whether we have the freedom to do it or not. If they try to stop us, and by the way, that's what Satan's trying to do. He's trying to shut down the soul winning that's being done in America. That's his ultimate goal. That's why there's so much going on. But we need to keep it free to continue to get the gospel to our cities and to our world. Also, so we can have freedom to live a life that glorifies God. The freedom to do it. And we need to do it whether we have freedom or not. And praise God for those in the book of Hebrews that brought glory to God, even though they didn't have freedom. And praise God for all the people who have died all over the years that did not have the freedom to bring glory to God, but they did it anyway. But we want freedom. We need to do this. It's so important that we do this so we can have freedom to do God's will and teach the children to do God's will for their life. So we can have the freedom to worship and serve God in his church. And so our children can be free to do this and raise their children to do this too. You know, it's great. It's great to be able to go to church. It really is. It's great to be able to take the family to church, get in your car, drive to church, and go, and walk in the door, and everybody's there, and everybody's happy, and it's a great spirit, and we sing these great songs, and we hear God's word, and we get to make decisions and go home and put those decisions into our life. It's great to be able to do all that. I love to be able to do all that. It's free, fun to do that. You don't have to go there and pull up at church and wonder if there's some guy in the parking lot that's going to approach you as you go up to the door and say, you're not allowed to go in there. We don't want that to happen. You say, oh, well, that'll never happen in America. Don't think it won't. Don't think it won't. We want freedom so our children can do what we're doing. Our grandchildren can then do what we're doing too. To enjoy what we have had up to this point. That's what we want, the freedom to do that. Freedom is such a big thing in America. You know, and slowly they're trying to take it away from us. We've got to stop it. But we can't stop it. Only God can stop it. We can't heal our land. Only God can heal our land. But we got to get God to do it. And he does it through changing lives. That's how he does it. He's not going to change the direction in the hearts of all the big leaders in our nation, because he may change them. They're just going to go right back to the way they are because they're sinners. He's going to do it through changing lives. And we are the ones he's going to use to change lives. So our country is the way it is. Our country is the way it is. What are we going to do about it? What will you do? Will you humble yourself? Right, but let me finish what I'm saying, okay? Humble yourself, pray, seek God's face, turn from your wicked ways, and go soul winning. If you do that, God will use you in a great way. God will use you in a great way to help reach our country. And that's what I'm going to do. As I sat there driving home from Portland, I thought, man, what can I do? What can I do to stop this? This is unbelievable. I know what I can do. I can do what God told me I can do. I can do what God told me. He told me how he would heal the land through me. And that's what I'm going to do. How about you? Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the Bible. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the direction you give us. Lord, you have the answer. You have the answer on how we can make our country a better country. We can't sit back and just let things happen. We can go to the polls and we can vote. We can make our voice heard to the government. But a lot of times it falls on deaf ears. What we need is God. We need God's power. We need God to change things. And you told us how we could get it done. We had to humble ourselves. We have to pray. We have to spend time in your word every day. We have to turn from our wicked ways. And we have to share the gospel. So we can be used like the disciples were used to turn the world upside down. We can turn our country upside down. We can turn our state upside down. We can turn our city upside down by turning lives upside down, by sharing the gospel with them. Help us to do that. Please have your hand in this invitation time now. Help everybody to respond to what the Holy Spirit is saying to them. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.